We get things rolling by talking Red Sox. The second half set to get rolling tomorrow night. Jen McCaffrey joins us from MassLive.com and the Springfield Republican. Jen, thanks for being with us.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You you have been very busy. You crank out about 7 articles today?
Yeah, you know, it's the All-Star break, but not for us. Still got to keep the content rolling. So.
Absolutely. Well, let's start. You had your report card, and at the top of that list with the valedictorian, if you will, of the first half of the Red Sox, Chris Sale, and why not with the phenomenal job that he's done. But is there some concern that this is a guy who in his career has always pitched much better in the first half than the second half?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we can necessarily expect him to be as good in the second half, just because, like you said, that it kind of tapers off a tad bit. But, you know, knowing the competitor he is and kind of the pressure he puts on himself, I'm not expecting too much of a drop-off. But at the same time, you know, these starts even closer towards July were maybe as dominant as those first 10 or so when he struck out. It was, 10-plus, I think, in his first 7 or 8 starts, 9 starts or something like crazy like that. So, I wouldn't expect him to be nearly as strong, but still extremely good. So I guess we'll start to find out this coming weekend.
It's been a real up-and-down year in dealing with the media and the public for David Price, but when you look at on-the-field results, as you stated clearly, he was actually performed better so far than he had at the same point last year.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a part of that might have actually to do with the fact that he had those first 2 months off and kind of was resting the arm, for lack of a better term. Obviously he had that injury coming out of spring training that they were pretty concerned about, and he needed that time to kind of ramp up. But he came out, and I think he had about a 3.91 ERA, which was under, you know, last year in the first half he had about a 4.34. Slightly better than last year, but the power we've seen kind of tick up a little bit. He's throwing that fastball a lot faster than he did in previous years. So I think that might be a result of kind of having a little bit of a fresher arm with the extra rest there. But and he did better in the second half last year than he did in the first half. So I think we'll kind of see this continue for him, and that obviously will be a good thing for the Red Sox.
Well, tomorrow night as they begin the second half, Drew Pomerantz gets the start, and as you point out, he's been certainly one of the more pleasant surprises of this team so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think any of us expected him to be this good in the first half, and especially considering the way he kind of came to the team last year with all those medical concerns and the issues with the Padres withholding medicals, and then the stem cell injection he had in the offseason. So there was kind of a lot floating around him. I thought he was going to be better than he was at the end of last year, but I didn't think he would be this good. I think, you know, in 14 of 17 starts in the first half, he gave up 2 or fewer earned runs. So a couple of blips in the radar here and there where he gave up 5 or 6 runs a start. But, the large majority were very good starts. And, I think we're kind of seeing turning into what they were hoping they were going to get when they made that trade last summer.
Third base has been a problem all year long, but as you point out in your piece, it's been solidified certainly by the duo of Marrero and Lynn. Do you think that will be good enough to keep them from making a move prior to the trade deadline?
I think it's been good enough so far, but I don't see them kind of continuing with that duo through the year. I definitely see them making some sort of move at third base. Whether it's a bigger name or whether it's just another guy to kind of supplement those two guys, through the rest of the season. And honestly, also Rafael Devers, could be up by September. At this point, he'll probably be getting called up to AAA any day now. So you could see him being in the mix for third base, in September and then into the playoffs, assuming they keep on the pace that they have. So I'm not sure that they want to get necessarily a long-term guy at third base, but I could see them getting some sort of guy that maybe becomes a free agent in the offseason, just to kind of add a little bit of veteran mix to that third base corner, because, you know, those two guys, Lynn and Marrero, have done so well, but at the same time, you don't necessarily know, how long they can keep this up, and, you know, when teams start to adjust to Lynn, pitch selection wise and see, what his weaknesses are, he's not going to keep hitting, at this 300 clip that he has. And obviously, Marrero's defense is great, but the overall consistency offensively isn't necessarily there. So I could certainly see them picking up somebody in the next 2 weeks or so.
We're talking with Jen McCaffrey here on Downtown. What else do you think is on Dave Dombrowski's shopping list?
Well, some reporters talked to him last weekend in Tampa, and he pretty much emphatically said that they're not looking for starting pitching. So that's kind of off the table, and that was something that we sort of weren't sure if he was going to be adding to the mix or not, just given some of the injuries, especially in the beginning of the year. But he wouldn't really commit to anything about third base or the bullpen, so I see those as the two kind of areas where they're looking to improve. Like I said, that there's the need at third base, which is sort of someone with a little bit more experience to kind of carry them through. And then the bullpen was, you know, a surprise in the first half, did very well for them, but how sustainable is that? I think that they're certainly going to be looking to add another arm there. Don't really know when they're getting Carson Smith back at this point. Obviously, Tyler Thornburg is done for the year, and you know, Joe Kelly did really well in the first half, but given the velocity that he's been throwing at and kind of the eye that Farrell has been keeping him on, the short leash, I guess, if you will. Not sure how long he can sustain that. So I think another bullpen arm would be helpful for them too.
You got the Yankees to begin the second half. Now they're tied for second, 3.5 games behind the Red Sox. So obviously it's an important series, even though there's still a long way to go. But as you look around the American League East, who is a bigger threat, do you think, to the Red Sox? Is it the Yankees or is it those Tampa Bay Rays who took 3 out of 4 last weekend?
I think I'd go with the Yankees just because they kind of have some of that pop. And, you know, they always seem to kind of heat up in the second half. And the Rays always give the Red Sox trouble, no matter, you know, if they're a terrible team or if they're a good team. So it always seems like the Rays play really tough against the Red Sox. And obviously that stretch right there before the end of the first half was tough for the Red Sox, but they were, I think, pretty tired and ready for the break, having, you know, played 10 straight on the road. The Red Sox have a very favorable schedule in the second half, playing most of their games at home because the first half was a majority on the road. So that plays in their favor, and I think, you know, if they're going to get challenged, which I'm sure there certainly will be some play down the road, I think the Yankees are the biggest threat at this point.
You had a really wonderful column earlier this week with Chris Young, and it was refreshing to hear from a guy who seems to understand his role with this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of, you know, that was something I've been thinking about for a little while now, just of how he kind of slots into games and just sort of always seems to get the job done, and I was kind of curious about that. So talked with him a little bit about just sort of being this backup or fourth outfielder, the veteran guy among this really talented outfield, young outfield. And he's sort of one of those guys that's behind the scenes a little bit. You know, you don't really realize the impact that he necessarily has on those three guys and Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts, and kind of just the advice that he gives in kind of certain situations. And then even just as a guy off the bench, not only contributing in games, but I think in that story I had a quote that he talked about, just watching the game intently and kind of trying to pick anything up off the bench, you know, against opposing pitchers, or if he's watching one of his own teammates swings and sees something different. So I think he's a pretty important piece to this team that they're it's turned out that getting him on this team was a pretty important piece over the past couple of years, not only for his contributions on the field, but, you know, from off the field, too.
Mookie Betts had a really great couple of weeks heading into the All-Star break, but I was really interested to note, because I think it's gone under the radar a little bit, but as you tweeted out, Jackie Bradley Jr. actually with a better average and a better OPS than Mookie through the first half.
Yeah, I was looking at some stats last night. I was at the AA All-Star game in Manchester, New Hampshire, and was kind of looking at some stats here and there from the Red Sox first half, and noticed that I knew Mookie had kind of had a down first half and hadn't, you know, been as strong as we would have expected. But I didn't really realize that Jackie had actually had better numbers in the first half. Obviously, Mookie had more homers and doubles, But just average and OPS-wise, Jackie had a better first half than Mookie. And, you know, we've also seen in the past, too, that Mookie kind of heats up in the second half. He did the same thing last year. I think he had actually similar numbers in the first half last year. I think, you know, around the maybe a little bit lower OPS, but still it's not too uncommon for him over the past couple of years to kind of have this slow start, but still sort of surprising, and expect him to kind of start heating up as we kind of roll towards fall.
What did you think of Devers when you saw him in that All-Star game?
Yeah, he's pretty impressive. I've seen him, you know, obviously saw him in spring training when he was up at the big league club. So everybody was kind of raving about him then, and you can kind of, you know, just even see some of the improvements he's made since then in terms of just, he made a really nice diving stop at third base. And I know that's kind of been the bat has always been there for him, but some have questioned maybe how ready he is at third base. And that play was a really good play. I think he was one for two with a single and a strikeout. So saw him in batting practice, and the balls were kind of just flying all over the place. So he said himself he's ready for a promotion. It's kind of up to the team. And, you know, I think, you know, the next couple days we'll see him probably heading up to Pawtucket. So a month or two in Pawtucket, and I could see him as a September call up to the Red Sox. So we'll kind of see where that goes, but he looks to be pretty impressive.
Jen McCaffrey, MassLive.com, the Springfield Republican and a proud graduate of the Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse University. Jen, as always, great talking with you, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.